We extend Christian greetings to each one this morning. It is again good to be in the house of God and to learn truths from His Word. I've been inspired about Thanksgiving and plan to speak on that subject myself, so the theme will continue. Now, I did have something happen this morning that has never happened to me before, and that is the devotional leader read my text passage, but I've learned already this morning that that's something to be thankful for, so we're going to look at it that way. Turn with me to Psalm 100. I'm not going to major in points from there, but I think it is a wonderful passage and directs us to thanksgiving to God. And I'll not give the title just yet. I'd like to read two passages of Scripture, Psalm 100, and then go to another. Yeah, in 20 years, I don't think that has ever happened to me before, so it's good to shake things up. Maybe earlier on, that may have made it so that I would have nothing more to say, but 20 years have changed out a little, and so I believe we still have something to talk about this morning. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. If I was going to pick one verse from this passage that would be my text verse, it would be verse 4. It talks about entering into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. I think we can take that as meaning our relationship with God. So we enter into a relationship with God, and a very fundamental aspect of that, and what really facilitates a relationship with God, is thanksgiving to Him. There's not really a relationship possible with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, without a thanksgiving attitude toward Him and what He has done for us. So I believe that's what it is saying when it says enter into His gates. Enter into a relationship with God. Enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ with thanksgiving, and into that relationship with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now, there is a sobering passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3 I'd like to read. And we've been bumping into this theme throughout some of the songs and so on, where the good things in life can become commonplace to us, and that I don't know that we would say we forget where they come from, but we forget to be thankful. That passage is in Deuteronomy when the Lord told Israel there that, you know, I'm going to take you into a good land and has all of these good things, but whenever you have all of these good things and you're full, don't forget about me. 2 Timothy gives us a warning. Chapter 3, I'll read the first three verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and the next word is unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And it goes on and lists more sins, but this sin of unthankfulness is listed as a part of the last perilous days. And so this week, as I was thinking of sharing on the subject of Thanksgiving, I was trying to measure my own life and where I was in a Thanksgiving attitude. Because, like I said, it's easy for us to go on in life and we say, I'm thankful here, I'm thankful here, I'm thankful here, and maybe some other areas we are not so thankful. The subject title this morning is Little Thieves of Thanksgiving. Little Thieves. One of the things that come to my mind as I contemplated this subject, as I said to myself, what is it that takes away the Thanksgiving attitude or Thanksgiving that I could express and don't? What is it that robs me of that? What are those, some of those things? If we were to rate ourselves concerning whether we are a thankful person, most of us would say we are thankful. We would probably be honest enough to say, well, yeah, you know, some things I do take for granted, and I'm more thankful for some things than others. But often we're kind of selective when we say that we are thankful. At least maybe I'm just talking about myself, but often I'm kind of selective in that, kind of unknowingly. So am I thankful? And I think about, yes, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for salvation. Thankful for, and I go on this list of the things I'm thankful for. I'm looking in that, from that perspective. But there are at least two perspectives by which we can produce an answer for the question, am I thankful? And one is the one I just mentioned. Seeing evidence of thanksgiving in my life. What is there? I am thankful for this. I am thankful for that. And we look at the evidence that is there of things that I am thankful for. The second one is, though, seeing what is there and also seeing what is missing, what I am not thankful for. This is looking at a fuller picture in the details. For example, it might be like this. So there has been, let's say there's been some thieves in the area. There's some theft going on. And you hear of theft happening in the area you live in. So just by way of checking out, maybe it was your neighbor that was robbed, his shop tools, some shop tools were missing or so on, and you hear of this. So you go to your tool shed, and you take a quick glance around, you look in the tool shed and say, yeah, it's all here. It's all here. Everything is here, and theft did not happen to me. But later that day, you begin a project, and you go to fetch a particular tool, and you cannot find it. And a few minutes later, you go for another tool, and it's missing as well. And suddenly you say, now wait, let's take a closer look. Someone was in my tool shed. Someone did take some of my tools. They're not here. And that's the way we often, that I think I look at this Thanksgiving subject. I run into the shop, I look at my life, it's all here. And go back out about our daily duties. But when in real life, when I go for the tool that I need, when I go for strength or whatever, then it's not there. And suddenly, like, wait, maybe there was a thief in my life. Maybe there a little thief of Thanksgiving was active in my life, because something is missing. Or you get to the end of the day, and you realize there were some things that you could have done differently concerning Thanksgiving. So let's look at it this way. Let's assume being thankful in personal life is measured in units, that there is an actual measuring, a way to measure this thing of Thanksgiving. Let's assume that the total possible number of Thanksgiving units that you feel or express in one day is 100. That's the total. Let's imagine that. If at the end of the day we come up short, what would be the reason? What would be the reason? Something took them away, right? A little thief came and took something away. And so we come up short. It's not there. What are those thieves? When we think about a thief, and especially in spiritual life, John 10:10, talking about the sheep there, but it says this about a thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And this is what happens, I think, in practical Christian life in many ways. Little things come into our lives. Little things come in and steal the part of what is supposed to be given to God. Something comes in, steals it away, and then we don't have it for God. It steals from our equity. At the end of the day, the equity that we were to give to God, some of it went elsewhere. And this is Christian experience. This is the things we wrestle with. This is the things we try to do better in. We pray about it and we work at it. And so don't be discouraged in this if you see things that are missing from your Thanksgiving tool shed. But we work toward that goal. Thinking about the thief. So there's supposed to be this many units of Thanksgiving, but when the thief took some away, we were left with less. Just like, again, it's not a comprehensive, did not approach it in a comprehensive way at all. And I also approached it in a practical way. So the first area I'd like to just identify some thieves that I believe rob the tool shed of Thanksgiving in our lives. Identifying the thieves. Number one is discontentment. And that's easily said. And I think discontentment, I was trying to also discern this in my mind, because discontent, some of us, as we go through life, part of our job is to see things that are not right at the job site or so on, or even as fathers in the home, part of our responsibility is to look at family life and say what needs changed, what needs to be bettered, what needs fixed. And so it's not just about seeing a need, but discontentment is that I'm not happy inside about life. It's not just about seeing need and what can I do to fix that need. No, it has more to do with I'm not happy about life. It's a discontent attitude. Life isn't right for me. God isn't doing much for me, or life isn't doing much for me. People aren't doing much for me. I'm a victim of so many things, and we have this discontent and idea of about life, or maybe life instances. Discontentment, and this is one of the little thieves that will come in, because it's not really possible to live in that discontent state and also express and feel Thanksgiving. It robs, it takes it. The discontent grabs a chunk of that and says and scurries off with it, and it's gone. It's gone. That part of your day is gone. Those moments that our mind dwelt and our heart dwelt on discontent, it grabbed it, took it away, and that is gone from us. We cannot go and recover that moment of time, that 5 minutes of time, or that 2 hours of time where we were disgruntled and discontent and angry about what was going on. We can't recover that and say, oh, wait, I'll take that back. Now I want to give it back to God. No, it's gone. Little thieves of Thanksgiving. And the other thing, sometimes we compartmentalize this, as I mentioned earlier. We look at the things that we are thankful for. But I'd like to, as we think about discontentment and these little thieves that we're going to look at, consider it in all departments of my life, just so that we get a good look at who we are, at who I am. You think about all of the people that God brought into your life, my life. And think about discontentment or contentment in that way. Are there people that God brought into my life that I'm discontent with? All the circumstances that God allowed. See, again, I'm happy about my raise that I got at work. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for where I live. I'm thankful for the people that I go to church with, and I'm thankful for all that. But then what about all of these other things? What about, the person that I'm struggling in a relationship right now? What about the instance that was a hardship to me that I'm going through right now? What about that? So to look at it in a more comprehensive way as what is going on, and where we are discontent in those places. Could be financial, material situations. Where are we? Is there a little thief in our life, a little thief of discontentment that is, as the day, you wake up in the morning, as the day progresses, he reaches his, we say a person that is a thief has sticky fingers, right? You've heard that term, he has sticky fingers. We might not use the word thief, but that's what that means. And so as you go through the day, you have these little sticky fingers reaching into your life and scurrying off with that part of a few units of the Thanksgiving that was delegated to your day to express to those around you, to express to God, and to feel in your heart. The second one is complaining. Complaining is verbalizing our unhappiness. And I am sure that I complained. I think I complained yesterday. I was loading some cattle, and the cattle were not cooperating, as cattle often do. They were jumping places they weren't to be jumping. They were going through fences they weren't supposed to be going through. And, you know, I can't even recall now, but I just know in my heart I wasn't very happy. I don't think I crossed any lines of, you know, any lines in anger or so on, but I found myself clenching my teeth and squinting a few times. Complaining, verbalizing unhappiness. You've been around a person that just like, nothing's right, nothing's right. Just, I just don't like that. I just don't like this. And he did that, she did that. Just this constant spewing of things that aren't right. Complaining, another thief with sticky little fingers that is grabbing a part of your day. And again, in those moments, in those minutes that we are complaining, it's not really possible to have the feeling of thanksgiving in our heart. It's not really possible to be expressing thanksgiving when we're expressing complaining. It's another little thief. Thirdly, a critical attitude. Critical attitude is another little thief. And I think a critical attitude mostly has to do with in relation to how we feel about other people. I think discontentment goes to objects and things, material, physical. But when you think of a critical attitude, often it has to do with how I feel, how you feel about people around you or people you're doing business with or whatever. Thought patterns of deep discontent about other people. Critical attitude. This can come, I think, very close home. And again, maybe I'm just talking about myself, but you know what? Humans are humans, aren't they? And often I think many of us struggle with some of the same things. It's a human tendency. This person didn't do that right. Oh, the young people just don't do this right. Oh, they're just not seeing life like they should. Oh, I just wish people would grow up. Oh, I just wish the older people would do it this way. And, you know, depending where you are in age, you know, we kind of look down from where we are. We look down on the older, look down on the younger. But then when we get older, maybe we can look down on everybody that's from us away. Or if you're young, you look at the old, they just don't have a clue. But this critical attitude can really be something that, again, robs a chunk of thankfulness from our life, and again, it's lost. That opportunity to express thanksgiving and feel thanksgiving in our heart is lost. Bitterness is the fourth one. I'm going to stop with this one then, but there would be many more, I imagine, that you could think of. and apply it as you think about this subject, as you think about the little thieves of thanksgiving. Think about it in your life, and you may have, there might be one that I didn't mention this morning that is robbing you of the thanksgiving attitude that you should have, or robbing you of expressing thanksgiving. But bitterness is long-held discontent that has soured our thinking and possibly our speech and actions. And just Wednesday evening, we had a topic here. It was about bitterness. Brother did very well on that, so I'll not labor this point long. But bitterness is something that you've heard those people that are sour. And just, again, life isn't right. It's a long-held discontent. It's a long, maybe long-held critical attitude. A long-held discontent of people, things, and all of that has soured, has got to the point where it has soured our thinking. And so it a majority of that type of person's life, at least broad, I keep using this word, chunks. It's probably not a good word to use over the pulpit, but big pieces of the day or big pieces of the week are lost to this soured thinking. Soured. Just life isn't right. Again, it's a little thief that takes a piece of the thanksgiving, some of the units that were to be given to God. These are some thieves of thanksgiving, and they rob us of our output. Second area of the message, arresting the thieves. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into arrest every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what we come to now, as we thought about these little thieves, these little thieves in our lives are actually attitudes and thought patterns are what they are. And we come to 2 Corinthians, and he said there is an answer for this. He says that we take the things in our life and the things that exalt themselves against God, and we know that this is happening, these things that take away the thanksgiving attitude, that takes away the thanksgiving expression, this is against God. They are exalting themselves against God because it is keeping from God the thanksgiving that is supposed to go to him. And he said the answer is that you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, which means that you say, wait, this critical attitude isn't right. Scripture says that I'm supposed to love my brother, and I'm supposed to love the people that I'm coming in contact with. I'm supposed to love my family, my spouse, my children, my coworkers, my boss, my whatever. And we recognize that because of the word. And then we say, I am going to obey Jesus Christ. You bring into captivity that thought to the obedience of Christ. You take it and say, this is wrong. I'm going to think correctly according to the word. You bring into captivity every thought. We secure an attitude of gratitude. You've heard that term already. We secure that by recognizing the wrong and changing our ways. And it will be a battle, especially if some of these things are ingrained in us. If we're a person that is bitter or a critical attitude is very common to us, it will be a battle to free ourselves of that. But again, it is done through the power. The power is we know the Bible says we are to do it this way. And I'm going to obey the Bible. I'm going to do it God's way. We need to secure an attitude of gratitude. As we think about ingratitude, which is unthankfulness, and by the way, when I tried to type unthankfulness on my paper, it wouldn't recognize it as a word. So I guess unthankfulness is not a word. I have to check that out, but ingratitude is. Not being thankful is probably more proper. But ingratitude is not just a matter of brushing up on our manners. See, I think sometimes we fall in that category too. You do something nice to me, thank you, you're welcome. And we have all this, we have all these thank yous that we pass around, and that is a good thing. We need to do that. That is good. That is proper. And it's nice to hear. But when it comes to an attitude of gratitude, the manners part is something that surfaces, and it may or may not come from a heart of gratitude. Did you ever get a gift at Christmas that you just weren't sure? I mean, you weren't sure what to say. It wasn't at all what you were hoping for. It didn't align with your wants. It didn't align with your needs. It didn't really serve a practical purpose. And he's like, thank you. Did it come from a heart of gratitude? Well, it could have on the level of thank you for giving me something. But when it came to the actual product, you were so disappointed. So that's what I'm trying to explain, that ingratitude is, to fix that, it's not just a matter of brushing up on your manners. No, it's securing an attitude of gratitude, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Secondly, in Colossians 3, there's another principle as we think about arresting the thieves. Colossians chapter 3, there's a principle here of displacing and putting something back in its place. We talked about that in the Sunday school lesson as well, to create a habitation for God. We need to clean up the place. And so if these little thieves are in our lives, we need to arrest them, displace them, get them out. If ye then be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Yeah, let's keep going. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Here it is in verse 5. Mortify. In other words, get rid of. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And we go down to verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, communication out of your mouth. Now it doesn't specifically mention ingratitude here or unthankfulness. It doesn't mention it specifically here. But the principle is that when we recognize something is wrong in our life, and something needs growth, that we displace those things by God's power through confession. Through confession to God, we say, God, I am sorry. I have been discontent. God, I am sorry. I have a critical attitude. God, I am sorry. I repent of the bitterness that is in my heart. That's how we displace those from our heart. But then you go down further in where it says put on, put off, in verse 10 it says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering. What I want here is the principle. The principle is that we put off, we clean up, and then we bring in the good stuff. It needs to be filled up with something good. It needs to be filled up with an attitude of gratitude. We need to secure that thankfulness, which feeds contentment and all of those things. This principle is also given in Luke chapter 11. And I want to emphasize this point of putting out the bad, bringing in the good. And Luke 11 says it another way, 24 through 26. Here we got it. And I would say that unthankfulness or ingratitude, bitterness, this critical attitude, the discontent we talked about, is an unclean spirit. It says here in 24 of Luke 11, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, when he is put off, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. The house is completely clean. The person, you and I, have put off bitterness, put off critical attitude, put off discontentment, all of those things. Okay, we cleaned it up. But we didn't put anything good in it. And when that evil spirit comes back, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Emphasizing the point that when in life, we're talking this morning about the attitude of gratitude, when we clean up our life, something good needs to come in to replace it so that we can remain faithful to God. We don't just let it empty. No, we infuse the word. We infuse thankfulness. We infuse all of those things. So just thinking of this thought of displacing the thieves and putting some security in place, just a few things I think we should strengthen. I need to strengthen in myself, and maybe you can learn along with me. Number one, we need a strengthening belief of the sovereignty of God. Believing in the sovereignty of God is one of the foundational things from which thanksgiving springs. Matt mentioned it about the song. We sang the song, we thank thee that all of life is touched with pain. I won't quite get the words now. But so we're thankful. The only way we can be thankful in the painful things of life is realizing that God has allowed this to come into my life. And that goes back to the foundation of the sovereignty of God. I believe in God. And so, God, you allowed this. I know you have something in it for me. I don't know what it is. It's painful right now. We admit that. We understand that. But God, I'm thankful that you are leading me and that you will bring me through this. And so we need, if we're struggling with thankfulness, we're struggling with not being thankful, we need to strengthen our belief in the sovereignty of God. We need a strengthening belief that God is always good. He's always good. And I think that in Psalm 100 that we read there, we read it twice, so I should have memorized by now, right? But it talks about that God is good. He is good to us. We need to strengthen that. God is good in everything. God is good when times are good for me. God is good when times are bad for me. God is good when I'm poor. God is good when I'm not poor. God is good when I'm in health. And God is good when I'm not in health. God is always good. And this is a part of the foundation from which thanksgiving can spring from. We need a greater verbalization of thankfulness. Greater verbalization. In prayer to God. God, I thank you for what you're doing for me. I thank you for this. I thank you for that. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for the church. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we need a greater and stronger verbalization in our life. And we need it to those who aid us and gift us. Again, as I said earlier, I don't believe this is always a absolute proof that we have a thankful heart or an attitude of gratitude. But it can be a building block that, as we verbalize it, it helps make us aware and initiates thoughts of thankfulness. And it's a growth stimulator. Fourthly, we need a sharper focus on thanking God for what we call the small things. Things like religious freedom. We need to thank God for those things. And again, it's one of those things we've always had religious freedom. We don't know what it's like not to have that. Not to have that privilege. We need to thank God for that. We need to thank God for the plenty of food. Thank God for family. Thank God for warm houses in the winter. Cool houses in the summer. Most of us have even cool houses in the summer. Clothes to wear. Friends. All of these, and the list could go on and on. But then I asked myself, I put it down as thank God for the little things. But why do we often consider these types of things small things or expected things? You ever think about that? And we've never had to do without it. So we think it's a small thing, maybe, to have religious freedom. But what if we could try it for a 1 year not having religious freedom, where we couldn't meet in this way, where we were running from authorities? Probably wouldn't be a small thing. Or what if for a year you hardly could find clothes to wear for whatever reason, for economic reasons, for whatever reason, like in some countries, for a whole year it was difficulty to dress yourself and your family in clothes? Would it be a small thing? What if for a whole year you had difficulty, dads, think about this, you had difficulty bringing food to the table for all those little children sitting around your table, and they didn't hardly have enough to eat, and maybe not enough to eat? We think that the plenty of food is a small thing. Well, maybe you don't, but it's easy to put in that category. It's expected. It's a small thing. But if for a whole year we work our, like we say, work our fingers to the bone, and our children would still go to bed hungry, I imagine it would no longer be a small thing. And you go down that list and think about that. So let's just be verbal in thanking God for these things that we consider expected. And what's the term we use? Let's not take them for granted. Not take them for granted, because there are people in this world right now that don't have some of these things that we're talking about. We need next is we need to strengthening of in everything give thanks, which is in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, where it teaches us there that in everything give thanks. And I remember very, very vividly a preacher, I don't remember which one it was, but taught us that we don't give thanks, we don't have to give thanks for everything, but we need to give thanks in everything. And I think there is a difference there. I felt relief that day when he told me that, because I knew I was coming up way short in being thankful for everything, but in everything. And that is the attitude. When we're thankful for thankful in everything, that is, again, going back to the sovereignty of God and saying, God, you have something in this. You're growing me up. You're teaching me something. I don't even know what the lesson is yet, but I'm trying to see it. I'm trying to learn it. And thank you for bringing this in my life, that my life is touched with pain so that I can see pain in other people's lives, so I can help other people. So we need a strengthening of that. And we go back to Job for an example there. And when Job went through some of his difficulties there, his wife came to him and said, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? And I think that gives us a good example to go by. Third and last area of the message, why does a maximum attitude of gratitude matter? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? We talked about how these little thieves come into our life and then they take away the gratitude, the thanksgiving that should go to God, that we takes away the thanksgiving that we should express to other people. We talked about how to try to arrest them and bring into captivity every thought. But why does all this matter anyway? Number one, an attitude of gratitude is praise and worship to God. I want to turn to Luke 17. There's the passage there of the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And there's a lesson. What it teaches us that thanksgiving is praise and worship to God. And praise and worship to God is a big deal. That is who we are to be as Christians. We are to be praising and worshiping God. And that's what thanksgiving is. Luke 17:11-19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And of course, they're standing afar off because in their culture, these leprous people could not mingle with society, because it was a very contagious disease. So they're standing afar off. And so they're far away, and they lift up their voice. They shout over to Jesus. They lift up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now you hear what he did there. With a loud voice, he glorified God. I don't read here, they said, thank you. I don't hear they said, thank you, but he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. There he, in 16, he gives thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? I think I want to read the 19. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so in this, when he fell down and gave thanks, there was the expression of thanks, but it also was an expression of praise and worship. He lifted up his voice and he praised and glorified God. And I imagine he said, praise the Lord, I'm healed. I can mingle with society. I can go back with my family. And he's joyful and his heart is just overflowing with what just happened. And that is going right to God. It's going right back to God. And that's why gratitude and thanksgiving is a big deal in our life. Because what he is doing when our heart is happy, and we express this and we say, thank you, Lord. And we're happy for what he did and happy about life and accepting life as it comes to us because we know he is sovereign. That is worship going right back to God. That's what it is. An attitude of gratitude is praise and worship to God. Number two, why does this matter? Being thankful makes a Christian more productive in God's kingdom. I think that's pretty easy to see. If the person that has a critical attitude or is bitter, you know, is tied up with his own thinking and you know, is real circular thinking and kind of tied up with themselves and so on, and it's just, they're not productive because their mind isn't free to think about what God wants them to do and what they should be doing and correcting their mistakes and going on with God and being involved in the kingdom. A thankful person is just more productive. That's one of the reasons it matters. Number three, thanksgiving is only possible within the scope of time. And this goes back to some of the initial thoughts that as we began the message. And that is that there is this allotted day. Every day that we live, there's an allotment of time that we have. And there is something right to do with that day, and there is something wrong to do with that day. And if we do the wrong things, if we have the wrong attitudes, if we have the discontent in our life, if we have the criticism in our life, if we have the bitterness in our life, that time is gone. And we have been robbed of that time. So thankfulness is only possible, the only possibility of being expressing thankfulness and feeling thankfulness is within the parameters of time. Our lives consist within these parameters of time. Irretrievable seconds, irretrievable minutes, irretrievable hours and days. We have a limited time. And even if God gives us 81 years, like Brother Richard, it is a limited amount of time. Or if he gives us 100 years, it is still limited. And every day is so precious to give back to God what he deserves. And because he is so high and holy, because he has given us so much, we need to give it back to him. We don't want to be robbed of that time. We do not want to let the little things of thanksgiving rob us. Number four, we touched on this already, but why is a maximum attitude of gratitude matter? Why does it matter? Thankfulness is affirmation to the sovereignty of God in my life. It's affirmation. When I am thankful, when you are thankful, we are saying, God, I believe you are in control, and I accept that. It's affirmation. Number five, thankfulness unleashes the God-given blessings of happiness, peace, and satisfaction in life. And so there's a part of this, as we think about that 100 units of thanksgiving that we imagine are possible in a day, the maximum possibility. As we give that back to God every day, we maximize that and we try to get all 100 units to go back to him. He pours it back on us. He dumps it back on us. And he keeps our cups full. And so we never have need to run out. And so the only reason that I run out of thanksgiving is because it's been robbed by somebody. By something, not somebody as in you, by the little thief in my life. The little thieves, in conclusion, the little thieves of thanksgiving are the attributes of our carnal nature that sometimes win the day. An attitude of gratitude springs from a heart redeemed by Jesus Christ. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters, to embrace the necessary labors of Christian experience. Shall we pray?